Today's episode of Tech Talks on the Unsettled Media Podcast Network is brought to you by Tech Impact, focused on unlocking prosperity by embracing technology. For more, head to techimpact.it.
Welcome back, or welcome to Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson. I'm your host, and I'm excited because spring is upon us, and we know that means more sunshine later in the day and warmer weather here in Atlantic Canada. We can never really count out not having a bit of snow this time of year, but we know it's not going to last. We launched Tech Talks to get more stories out about what's happening here in the tech sector, whether that be guests with a particular technology focus or post-secondary institutions telling us about what's happening with their computer science programs, for example. The more we share, the more we are collectively informed, and in my experience, that usually leads to better decision-making. You just might hear a guest talk about something applicable to you or your business while you're listening to the podcast. That's when the magic happens. In this week's episode, we're sharing a digital transformation webinar that was hosted by Envision St. John, the regional growth agency in the Greater St. John area. It is part of an educational series they have underway. And as you know, digital transformation is core to our Tech Impact mandate. I was happy to lead the webinar to talk about what is digital transformation and why is it so important right now. Joining me were two guests, Jarvis Spires from Smet Monuments and Paul Harrell of Ganongs. They shared their engagement in the Digital Boost program, their projects they currently have underway, and how important these projects and the program was for them this year. Mark Breen from Envision St. John's going to kick us off, and then we'll get right into digital transformation. I hope you enjoy the show.
All right. So I'd like to welcome everyone for joining us today. This is our second in a series of innovation workshops that we've been delivering. Our first one we did back in January, if anyone was on, that was all about kind of building and maintaining culture of innovation. Today, we're going to talk about digital transformation, specifically and how business kind of in a business sense does that. So, but I'm very, very excited before we get into the presentation to announce that we have a new name. So for those people who are not aware, we are now called Envision St. John, the Regional Growth Agency. So people who aren't aware, you're going to be seeing that name more often. We just launched our social channels yesterday. I'll just give a real quick background. What had happened is last year we brought together numerous agencies. So, you know, Develop St. John, Discover St. John, and then Economic Development Greater St. John. So we're merged now and we're working together, and that kind of launched in January. So we're very, very excited to launch the name. It just came out this week. So if you haven't already, please go to our LinkedIn and our Facebook and take a look. So what we're going to do today, what I'd like to do before we get started, before I introduce our guest speaker, I want to do a short poll. And I'm just going to ask everyone to just take a second to do this. I'm going to launch it right now, and I'm going to allow the panelists to vote as well. So launch polling. So you should see a poll now. And the question is, what do you think is the largest barrier for a business to start a digital transformation project? So what do you think is the largest barrier?
Is there an option to click all of them?
There was when you set it up a multiple choice, but I said, no, I'm gonna make people pick one. So it looks like unsure where to start is by far ahead. All right, so I'll go ahead and end the polling on that. So what we ended up with, I'll share the results with everyone. It looks like everyone is picking unsure where to get started, by far 67%. So this is, and I did not set this up, Kathy. So this is a great poll to start. So I'd love to, I'm really happy to introduce our guest speaker, facilitator for today's session. Her name's Kathy Simpson. Extremely lucky to have Kathy here speaking with us today. If you're not, I'm going to do a little bit of intro to Kathy. So Kathy has spent her entire career in the tech sector, really focusing on advancing technology and the innovation sector all through Atlantic Canada. And that means kind of growing the digital economy, creating jobs, building people up and their talent, connecting companies, helping people solve problems, mentoring founders and leaders, and also really being a strong mentor to other women and to girls and introducing them to the sector. So Kathy does this through, Kathy's the CEO of Tech Impact, which is an industry-led organization with mission really to help Atlantic Canada embrace and accelerate technology adoption. So perfect for this particular topic. Kathy's also the board chair of MBIF, which is a private, independent private organization focused on venture capital and research funding. And last but not least, Kathy is also the CEO of Up and Go, which builds and delivers leadership programs for high school girls, specifically about helping them build their mindset and building skills and helping introduce them to, STEM, leadership, and entrepreneurship. And one more accolade, Kathy, is Kathy was just named this week one of the 25 most powerful women in business in Atlantic Canada. So we are extremely lucky to have Kathy here today. So Kathy, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that introduction. I'm excited to be here as well. I do have some slides to help you, and we are going to talk about the reasons why people struggle with the right approach to digital transformation. And as part of the presentation today, there are going to be a couple of gentlemen joining me in the discussion, talking about specific projects that they have on the go right now. So we'll get to do a little bit of everything in the next 45 minutes. So Mark, thanks very much. I'm here in St. John. I moved to New Brunswick 31 years ago. My plan was to stay for 2 years. And 31 years later, I'm still here and somehow still in the tech sector. I am with Tech Impact, as Mark mentioned. And Tech Impact is a private sector organization. I've been the CEO of that organization now for 2.5 years. And we're really focused on two things if we boil everything down. How do we advance the use of technology to grow our digital economy? And two, how do we get more talent and skills so that we can help these organizations grow? So we want to grow the number of tech companies that are here working on those digital adoption projects. If you think about the last year, it's been unbelievable, really. But one of the things that it has taught us all is that technology underpins so much of how we work, how we learn, and how we live. Mark and I were talking before this webinar started that, once we're in a post-pandemic world, or when the vaccine has really been distributed, and will we go back to all of the events like this being face-to-face? And my feedback to Mark was, no, we won't. We've become very accustomed to delivering work in new ways. So technology is super important right now, and it is everywhere in what we do. So what's happening is we're doing our banking, we're figuring out how to get to locations, we're listening to music, we're listening to podcasts, we're on Facebook, we're buying products off of Facebook, we're watching Netflix, we're taking pictures, we're ordering our food, you name it. We have our kids learning online. We have full university semesters being delivered with nothing but being online. And we have businesses a year later who are still all working remotely. So we work with technology every single day. And because of the pandemic, we are looking at it a lot differently. This was a bit of a summary that was in Huddle this summer. And they had done Salesforce actually had done some surveys, and about a third of Atlantic Canada businesses says they don't understand how technology is going to help them be competitive. 25% said they haven't been able to adopt and adapt to the business changes that they needed because of the pandemic. And 50% said that they know they need technology, but they don't know where to start. So very indicative of the poll. We did some work with APEC, and we asked some technology firms about what do they think are some of the barriers for them to be selling to customers. And look what showed up. A lack of knowledge about technology is one of those reasons why businesses are not adopting. They don't understand the value proposition of what's being proposed, or they don't have a budget. Those are really, really high numbers. But the hard part of those numbers is us here in Atlantic Canada, we're lagging behind in the adoption of technology. This report is literally out today, and it's a report by APEC, and I absolutely urge you to have a look at it. So we've got a screenshot there of the front page, and it's called it's through APEC, and they do all kinds of economic analysis for Atlantic Canada. And this is about how important is digital and automation going to be to support recovery. And, you know, the top highlight is there needs to be more digital and automation. So for some, that can sound really scary, and I get it. And when you're using words like what is digital transformation, it seems really complicated, but I can tell you it doesn't need to be one little bit. This is what digital transformation is. It's using technology to create new or modify existing business processes, culture within an organization, and experiences, whether that be for employees or customers. And you need to use technology in order to meet the changing business and market requirements. And what's going to result if you do this? Increased revenue and productivity. What usually starts the process of looking at digital transformation? Reduced revenue and reduced productivity. And things like a global pandemic that has put business models and how we learn and how we live into complete disarray. So you don't need to think about digital transformation as anything more complicated than changing the way you're working using some different tools and technologies. But many think it's only about technology, and that is why so many projects fail. So this image is just trying to give you an idea. When you think about digital technology and digital transformation, you have to think about people at the top of that pyramid. How is it going to impact the way that your employees are delivering services? How is it going to impact the way your customers are experiencing and receiving services? And then you start to think about that's going to create process changes within the organization. It's certainly going to have an impact on culture. And it's a lot about change management and business strategy. So sure, technology are the tools that get implemented, but it really does start with, is the organization ready and who is going to be impacted by the change? So these are some brands that you should all know, and you know what's happened. Blockbuster, that model didn't work now, did it? Look at the models that exist. Sears, my goodness. And look at the Amazon model and HMV and Spotify. We all understand how important digitization is. So when you think about digital transformation projects, it could be as simple as being able to accept online payments for my business, otherwise known as e-commerce platforms. But e-commerce can be simply broken down into that definition of tasks and processes and how you're going to deliver service differently for your customers, because you're, in this case, allowing them to pay online. It's digital marketing. It's having social media channels. It's having, you know, Facebook groups. It's having online video content that customers can review, and then they can click in order to purchase. There are so many different definitions of what digital marketing is or could be, and you're experiencing it every day. You just may not yet have a strong digital marketing strategy for your business. It's robotics. Now, when you tend to say robotics, people think advanced manufacturing and manufacturing plants. You might have a robot that does icing on cakes in a bakery. And you can think about things like 3D printers. And so many different ideas can come to mind when you think about robotics and automation and what you can and cannot do. And sure, there's lots of big scale ideas like robots in Amazon warehouses and finding products and putting them in the boxes. But there's lots and lots of affordable, small scale robotic opportunities as well. Cloud computing. We obviously spend a lot of time in the industry learning and talking about the cloud and what is happening with the cloud. But so many businesses are looking at how they are moving their applications to the cloud in order to be more cost effective, be able to manage them more effectively, and to have more network reliability. Analytics. Analytics mean a lot of things to a lot of people, but it is an absolute example of a digital transformation project. Perhaps I don't have enough data to fully understand what's happening in my warehouse, or maybe too much of that data is manual and I'm not able to bring that data together to help me make better decisions. Before I joined Tech Impact, I was at a company called T4G, now owned by MMP, but I spent 15 years there. And they were a big analytics shop. And often we walk into businesses who were back at, you know, we're using Excel spreadsheets or our data warehouse isn't working effectively. And that is a digital transformational project, helping them understand the kinds of data that they have and how can we use that data more effectively. And finally, ERP solutions. We're going to go and jump now into some hands-on projects and a program that we've been running here in New Brunswick. And there's a lot of organizations that don't have ERP solutions implemented. So they're back looking at what do I need as that core infrastructure to run my enterprise. And these are the kinds of projects that are completely relevant now and are the core of what digital transformation is all about. In order to think about digital transformation and digital strategies, you need a plan. You need a strategy. You need to know what you're working with. So over a year ago, we started working with ACOA, talking to them about a program called Digital Boost. We had APEC, who I referenced earlier with that new report. APEC had done a piece of research on Atlantic Canada and looked at the size of the tech industry, the size of the gap in skills and workers, and we looked at the adoption rates of digital for businesses. And we really started talking to ACOA about it because we found out we are lagging the rest of the country in the adoption of technology. And we started talking to ACOA, and it was about, we need to help give businesses a digital boost. What are we going to do? And we started devising a program concept, and it was going to be lots of workshops face-to-face. And we were going to, you know, maybe have this cohort was on e-commerce and this cohort was on analytics, et cetera. And then COVID hit. So we knew that that plan wasn't going to work. So we came up with a new design for the Digital Boost program, which we launched in August for New Brunswick businesses. I want to tell you a little bit about it because it really does give you an idea of a roadmap of how to get going on digital transformation. So Digital Boost was a program that if you were a private sector company, you could apply. There were some criteria, and all of this information is on the Tech Impact website. And what we were trying to do is help you with some of those inherent obstacles to get you started down a digital roadmap and a digital project plan. So you got accepted into the program. And at the same time, we want to build up our tech provider community. So we had put out a call to the technology community and said, if you'd like to participate and do some of these kinds of projects, you need to get accepted into the Digital Boost program. What that meant was a business could apply and we would cover 75% of the costs of implementing this project. And the business paid the other 25% of the cost. And we know that costs and access to capital are one of the challenges with implementing new technology projects. So this is the funding that came in place through the government of New Brunswick and ECOA. So for example, on a $50,000 project, we would fund $37,500 and the business would fund $12,500. So I kid you not, we were full. It wasn't even 4 weeks with business applications that came in, and we had as many businesses on a waiting list as we had businesses that were accepted. So we accepted 28. It ended up resulting in 25 projects that are underway right now as we speak. They started in as early as the middle of September. But at the same time, what's exciting for me, if you go back to what Tech Impact's mandate is all about, we are trying to grow the adoption of technology, but we're also trying to help create a thriving environment to keep growing the number of companies are here. So we now have 37 approved qualified technology providers on our list. And these are the types of projects we have on the go. Like I mentioned, ERP implementations, they actually were the most popular project type. We've got cloud migrations, we have e-commerce applications, new website, lots of different definitions of operational improvements, data analytics, machine learning, cybersecurity, you name it. So the process was pretty simple. The business said, I've got a problem. We had criteria around the projects. Once their business got accepted and the concept of their project got accepted, they then had 37 businesses to choose from to work on their project. So, how do you approach getting started? Well, first, you have to identify what problem are you trying to solve. Perhaps it is the cost to run the business aren't sustainable because you're being squeezed on your margins. Perhaps it's revenue is not where it needs to be, so you're not performing as an organization. Perhaps it's employee performance and productivity. Perhaps you can't find the resources or the tools aren't serving you well. Perhaps it's not having the data that you need to make faster decisions. Maybe that data is manual. Maybe that data is lagging, so it's not real time. Or perhaps customers are saying, hey, this isn't working for me anymore. Your products aren't where they need to be. I want to get online service support, but I can't get it after hours. Who knows? But you can't get started until you identify what kind of problems you want to solve. And then like anything else, if there's not alignment at the top of an organization, you are doomed for failure. So your organizational leadership team needs to align and agree on as you're identifying these problems and you need a technology plan to move forward. Are they all agreed that these are the business priorities and problems? Because if you go back to that map, you need money. So you need capital, but you also need resources, both from getting help from a technology provider, but your own internal resources that can work on these projects. So once you have leadership alignment, you start thinking about who can help us. This just happens to be the companies that were approved to be able to do this work for the Digital Boost Program. And I can't say enough about how important it is for businesses to understand the capability that exists in our own backyard here in Atlantic Canada. There are some great companies here in St. John, in Fredericton, in Moncton, and throughout all of the province and in the rest of Atlantic Canada. So all of a sudden now we've got, you've reached the point where you know what kind of project you want to do. You need to pick who you're going to work with. Well, you've got some key questions to ask them. And that usually starts with checking out their website, finding out what kind of services they deliver. But you've also got to find out, have they done the work that you want done before? How do they do that kind of work? So you ask them for case studies, or you ask them for references. And they, a good company is going to be more than happy to give you the name and number of someone as a reference. And a good company is also going to give you case studies that show that they've done that work before. And it's just like anything else. Do you feel like you've got a good rapport when you're meeting with that vendor? There is lots of help here. I promise you that. And then if you pick a vendor, it's time to start thinking about what your project is going to look like. So you start, and it's usually back in that very beginning discovery phase of defining what problem you have. And usually the technology provider starts asking for lots of information. Tell me more about that problem. Do you have data to support that problem? Can you show me what systems you're using? Can I talk to the people who are doing that work? That's all part of that initial discovery. And then as they do that discovery, they start to map out. This is the as-is state, and this is what the to-be state wants to be. So they got that data of how you're doing it today. And then you have the opportunity to say, but this is how it needs to be. We need to be more efficient. We need to be more responsive. So they start to map out, and then you start to see all those glaring issues, because the existing state isn't matching what you want your business to be operating like. And then finally, you start to see the technology provider is going to come back and play that all out for you. They'll have done their assessment, they'll have their findings, and they'll show you what an implementation plan could look like. And in that, they absolutely do recommend the use of the right kind of technology. But we don't start back in the problem definition phase of saying, I want to implement a Microsoft SharePoint solution. We start with saying, I've got problems with how I'm sharing data, or my knowledge management solutions aren't working for me. And it's only after they've spent that time with you doing that discovery and analysis that they can then build out a plan that starts to then identify what those technology solutions should and could look like and what they're going to cost. So you agree to that plan, they produce a plan for you, you get it implemented, and then you start asking yourself, did this project achieve the desired outcomes? And a good project plan is going to take you through all those steps to implementation. And a good project plan is going to go back to the very beginning and say, did we achieve solving the problems that the business have identified? That's where the rubber hits the road. Did we achieve those results? And it might take 2 days to see if you're on the right path. It might take 2 months to see if you're on the right path. It all depends on what kind of project you're trying to implement. One of the things we often overlook when we're thinking about a technology project is you're making considerable changes to the organization. So yes, you need that leadership alignment, but the other component of that is that leadership team needs to be communicating with everyone in the organization. They need to be the champions for these projects. Communications are highly underrated, but if you don't talk about these changes with your staff, then you often will have a pretty darn bumpy implementation and fail. You can easily fail if you're not talking about the change and helping to bring everyone on board to what these changes need to be. So I'm really fortunate today to have two companies that participated in the Digital Boost program, and they're going to talk a little bit about their experience, and I'm going to put their slide up while they're speaking. So Mark, if you could start with getting our first speaker off mute, and this is SMET Monuments, and I'll have my colleague from SMET introduce himself. And they did this project with a company based out of Fredericton called IPSG Technology. Over to you.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. So my name is Jarvis Spires, and I'm with SMET Monuments down in St. Stephen. So our company's been around for a bit over 70 years, so kind of a legacy operation. But despite that, we've always sort of been on the forefront and pushed the envelope with our technology offerings and what we do, more so on the production side. Now, with the changes that COVID's brought on, as we've seen a lot more of an increase or a shift, I should say, in how our orders come into our company, instead of it being, you know, more face-to-face meeting with people and paper, it's transitioned to kind of an online experience where they're purchasing over the phone, over the internet. And with that, it kind of really highlighted an issue within our company internally, and that's our kind of order management, order processing. It was systems that have been in place since the 80s and very paper heavy. So it, with this shift, has really brought the need for us to modernize that aspect of our business. Once I heard about the program and working with Kathy and IPSG, it was a no-brainer to go with. The IPSG was ready to work with. They committed an analysis of our current operation and suggested our path forward. I helped them with the research stages of looking at the different options to implement. But beyond that, they really took the reins and ran with the project. They did all the documentation, all the initial setup, all the implementation, and helped to train us and provide the documents to train our employees. So overall, the experience was very positive and very easy. Myself being in the management role, I don't have as much time to devote purely into diving into the technology side. So working with a partner made it very simple, and having that documentation was fantastic. The timelines that the Tech Impact set forward, it's about a 6-month project, is almost perfect. Too quick and you're going to implement something wrong, and too long you lose the support and you lose the buy-in if this kind of drags out and never moves forward. So we're about a week away from fully wrapping up everything. So just under the 6-month mark, that we're seeing some very positive gains in the productivity of our employees internally, and reduce stress on some of our people as well.
So Jarvis, that's a great summary. During the course of the project, some of this work would have been new, you know, having a technology provider coming in, asking lots of questions, documenting things. Was it at all unnerving for some of your staff?
Very, and unnerving for ourselves as well. We kind of operate in our own little bubble for so long that having somebody come in and sort of pry back that curtain and dig into how our orders are processed, you know, some aspect of financials, because we're dealing with kind of ERP-like systems, and just our overall processes. It's an experience that we hadn't gone through before, so it certainly took an adjustment to have, you know, ourselves and all of our staff be open and willing to outlaying, I'd say, you know, our, in a sense, our trade secrets or our industry of how our company operates internally. Which is definitely a strong suit that we have compared to some of the others.
I have one more question for you. I know during the course of your project, you got a fantastic roadmap from IPSG.
Yes.
And you have that now because you couldn't even tackle everything that they put on that roadmap. So how did you work with them to sort out your priorities? Because what I loved about your project was you had an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it was the roadmap they provided was fantastic, and it kind of leads into some future projects that we had already had in the back of our mind to do. So it helps to give that, you know, direction for after we get this done, where to head to next. We had identified early on the main project we wanted them to work on, so they went kind of above and beyond in identifying additional support ones. We kind of looked at time constraint and budget constraints that we have for the year to develop and how we want to go and make sure that we have a strong foundation, a strong basis to build upon for these future projects. So the technologies that we're implementing will be long lasting, secure, and have the option to add on to and grow with future projects.
Thank you, Jarvis. That summary was fantastic. And just in the same neck of the woods, we have Paul. So Paul, we can get Paul off of mute from Ganong here to talk to us today. Hey, Paul.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. Actually, it was interesting seeing Jarvis on there, and it's like, oh, I know where that is. It's like he is in town. Yeah. So I'm working at Ganong. Ganong is, as you can see on the slide, there is one of the oldest companies in Canada, or incorporated companies in Canada, and because of that, like as you can imagine. We've gone through many seasons throughout that history of growth and change, and then also sort of, you know, legacy processes that hold on longer than they should and that kind of thing. So, I've come into the organization about 5 years ago, became the IT manager about 2 years ago. And fortunately for us, we were in one of those seasons of change already when, you know, everything changed and COVID hit. So what happened with us was mostly an acceleration of what we were already planning to do, which was lucky, to be honest. Most of that was instigated by a couple of years ago, we started a risk assessment. So that's how we discovered like the problems, the things that we wanted to work on and change. And that was very valuable because it also, when you do a risk assessment for your IT infrastructure, for your IT resources, it's very easy to tie that into, you know, the business priorities. And it's a lot easier to present it in a way that gets buy-in from the executive team and is understandable that way. And so when we were approached by M&P with this program, it was kind of... it was a bit of a gift because we could actually, you know, I had like three or four projects. It's like, which one will fit? Which one is the best one for this opportunity? And we settled on a program or a project that where we would move our main ERP server into a cloud environment using Microsoft Azure platforms. It was something we'd been looking into since that risk assessment, but we had other priorities that were more pressing at the time. So it was really just a convergence of lots of different factors that landed in our favor. And that's what made it kind of the right time for us to move forward. And since we've started the program, it's been great. Like M&P has been a great partner to work with. We did lots of discovery conversations. They brought us in contact with resources that we didn't have before, which has led to other value adds because we've been able to take advantage of some other programs that we've learned about during this whole process. So that was really, really great. And it's been very collaborative, and which is exactly what you want in this kind of project. So, yeah.
So, Paul, sometimes programs like this come along right at the perfect time. Any internal challenges for you trying to manage your way through this project? Because I know during COVID, there's been a lot of things on the go for lots of companies. So how did you keep the momentum going to be able to work your way through this project?
Well, it's funny you should say that because there were... Because it was an acceleration of what we had already planned, we were actually in the middle of another project at the same time. Luckily, I'm part of a team of two, which, you know, it's a small IT department, but it's still better than being a team of one. So we were able to divide resources between Scott and I, and he was able to focus on finishing that previous project, which was well underway. I was able to take the point on moving with M&P. It was, you know, the constrained timeline and the sort of the distractions that could come up are something you have to move through. But it's honestly, M&P was very helpful that way in, you know, doing the project management and like, you know, keeping things organized and keeping things on task. And it's when you're part of an effective team, I don't think anyone really feels like they're carrying all the load, like they can rely on that. And we've luckily had that with M&P this whole time. So
that's perfect. Thank you very much, Paul. So, you know, we're finishing up the last of the slides here. We still have projects on the go. Both of these gentlemen talked about being on the ends of theirs. And what we've been learning through all of this is, and, you know, that's why we love organizations like APEC that help us kind of further understand the impacts of our economy. But digital transformation is crucial to evolving our economy and our businesses, and businesses need help. You need a playbook. Both of these companies have a playbook now. Paul had some ideas. This happened to be one of them, and it fit in perfectly. Jarvis now has a playbook around a number of areas that he was keen on doing. So how to start, where to look for help, who's going to be able to do the work, and then assess the results. And if you're thinking about a project right now in New Brunswick, you can start by going to look at the list of vendors that we've got on the Tech Impact site to give you an idea of the kinds of talent and capability, and they'll help you with the playbook. Help is here. And finally, we know, and a big part of the conversations that we have ongoing with ACOA in particular, is that the demand continues for programs like this or other kinds of programs for financial support and assistance. When you think back at the poll that Mark put out there, but people not being sure where to start, well, if they're not sure where to start, they sure as heck are going to be a little hesitant on putting the money there too. So fortunately for us, we had a program like this that enabled some financial support through ACOA and the government in New Brunswick. So if you want to learn more, you can go to the Tech Impact website. We are here to help. You can sign up for our bi-weekly newsletter. We've got stories about events where you can learn about technology. We've got all kinds of content there. And we started a podcast called Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson. And it is a podcast that we have a new episode every week. We talk about everything from productivity with RPC. We talk about women in technology. We talk about digital transformation. We'll be turning this webinar into a podcast. And so we spend a lot of time talking about digital transformation and digital transformation projects. So if you're out walking the dog and you want something to listen to, download the podcast and have a listen. So we do have resources that are there meant to try and help you. And Mark, that's it for my screen and my content. And thanks again to Paul and Jarvis for participating. And I'll stop sharing and leave it over, hand it over to you, I should say.
Thank you very much, Kathy. That was great. So what we'd like to do now, we have about 15 minutes left. I want to turn it over to some questions. So I see if anyone has any questions, they can type them in the Q&A. We have one, but before I ask that one, I'd like to ask a question to Kathy and, to Jarvis and Paul, if they'd like to. What advice would you give to a company that maybe had tried to do a digital transformation project in the past? You know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they tried to do and it didn't quite go as they had planned. And they had, let's just pretend they had a bad experience. So they're maybe a little afraid to kind of dip their toes in the water again and try again. So what advice would you give to that, that person, that company?
I'm happy for Paul or Jarvis to step in here too.
Anyone who wants to handle that.
Well, I'll take a shot at it because I've actually been in that position before, and it can be quite intimidating to try again after a bad experience like the one you described. And I think the best you can do is try to really analyze that situation and figure out where things broke down. You know, chances are it was communication along that path. But there could be other reasons. And then once you get a handle on what those are, you know, try and create a plan to make sure to minimize that reoccurring. It's fairly basic advice, but it can be a little bit difficult to execute at times. And that's, you know, that's what I've done from the my own experience in having that kind of bad situation. And in my case, it was largely due to communication, which is, really, the more I work in IT, the more I realize that it's all just communication, whether it's computer to computer or person to person or person to computer. And you can't stress enough how important that can be in the success of the whole endeavor. So
very good.
Mark, go ahead, Jarvis.
Sorry, I was going to say, I just add in there too as well that working with one of the providers that Kathy's recommended takes an immense load of stress or worry off of us as well. You know, we've done technology projects prior to this, and, you know, in doing this one here, it was infinitely easier having that stress and worry that if there was, you know, an error popped up, a bug popped up, I just shoot it off to them, they'd handle it. And having that kind of offset to somebody else and they take responsibility for all of the aspects of making sure things go smoothly was absolutely fantastic.
The thing is, you're in the driver's seat. You're the customer. Like, that's the thing you have to remember. So I remember talking to one of the Digital Boost fund recipients and they said, I've never done a project like this. I don't know where to turn. It was like, okay, let's start at the qualified vendor list. And then when they said that type of project, I was able to take that list down to about 8 companies, and that was still a bit overwhelming, but I was able to go, okay, I know based on we did the due diligence for these companies, these 8 companies can help you. And then we help them with the types of questions to ask and to go through, how do you start asking those questions so you can start to go, who do I have a good feel with? So, you know, say I'm talking to Jarvis and Jarvis is with XYZ company and we have a good rapport and he gets back to me on time and he sends me the case studies. That's going to give me a feeling for when we're in the throes of a timeline and a crunch and something's going wrong, is he the guy that I want to be working with? So just always remember that you're in control. You're the customer and you get to make the decision on who you work with. And if the project isn't panning out the way you want it, you have to help by communicating back to Paul's point of what's not working for you and how you collectively need to make the changes.
That's great. So thank you for answering that, everyone. We have 3 questions in the Q&A. So I'm going to ask the first one. So the first question is from Claudine. It says, what types of programs are there for new companies?
Well, I hope there are going to be more programs like this, but nothing that I can announce today. But absolutely stay tuned to see, as because we are working on other concepts of potential programs. What I would tell you that I learned in the past year is ACOA are on a mission. This is my words, not them, but I believe ACOA are on a mission to work on digital transformation in New Brunswick. So if you have an ACOA rep, I would absolutely be all over them, asking them questions about, are there programs coming up? I'm interested. Where can I look? They tend to be the most prevalent in the market with different program ideas, from, you know, e-commerce masterclasses to programs like Digital Boost. So I would start there. And I would also talk to your OMB rep. Mm-hmm. And they have a good idea of programs that are out there. LearnSphere often is a distributor or a program manager like we are for Digital Boost. So they're another source to look at. There are also programs like ICTC, which is provide support if you're going to hire students to help work on programs, and you can get as much as 70% of that technology student's salary paid for co-ops or summer employment. So there are a number of areas where you can look to get started.
Very good. Thank you. So then the next question comes from an anonymous attendee. And it says, good day. Is Tech Impact receiving applications for new tech providers? So I think that's for new people that might want to provide
Services,
yes.
Absolutely. We're open for new tech providers. We have a review committee that there's an application process on the website. You fill in the application. We have a program manager, Jacob Dunnett, who's on the webinar, I'm sure, and he gets all the information. We then will absolutely have a call with you to find out more about what your capabilities are and the types of projects that you do. And then we make recommendations and put that information forward to our review committee that looks at all of the projects and all of the technology provider applications. And then we'll let you know if you've been accepted into the program or not. So absolutely just go have a look under the programs tab, look under Digital Boost on the website.
Very good, very good. So then another question from Claudine, and this one's a little more specific. What IT companies would you recommend for a tourism project? So specifically around tourism.
Well, Claudine, I can't recommend a company. That would not be smart or probably right for me to do, but I wouldn't worry about what if there's certainly what you could do. In all seriousness, Claudine, is if you had a look at the technology provider companies you're thinking about, I would specifically ask them if they have experience in the tourism sector. So one, I would ask them about their industry experience, but two, if you look at all of the different providers that you can find, and maybe they don't have specific experience in tourism, but if you're trying to do a specific kind of e-commerce application or digital marketing application, you ask them if they have experience doing these kinds of projects. And while it may not be tourism, it might be trying to solve similar problems in another industry, and their experience would be directly relatable to that. And you absolutely ask them for customer reference and case studies. And that's your way to be able to really find out, do they have the depth that you need for the problem that you're trying to solve?
Very good. Thank you. So we have another question. This one's from Trevor. Do you have to be a member of Tech Impact to become a qualified service provider?
You absolutely do not need to be a member of Tech Impact to be a qualified service provider.
But you should be anyway, right?
Yes, we want more members, so that would be great. But no, you do not need to be a Tech Impact member.
Okay, very good. So we don't have any more questions. I have one more question though, and it's to build on what we were talking before the webinar, Kathy, on, you know, COVID and the, you know, I read something a few weeks ago that said, you know, it was an article, Welcome to 2030, that the pandemic's really accelerated, you know, cultural and technology change. Can you, you know, I'm going to ask you to tell the future a little bit.
Sure.
You know, what do you think things are going to look like specifically from a technology perspective, you know, after the pandemic is finished, once people have been vaccinated and we've moved forward? So kind of, if you could build on what we were talking about a little earlier.
There's absolutely no going back to this state in 2020. We all know that. So that's a given. There's absolutely no reason to believe everything is going to be remote either, because we are human beings. We need connection. We need to be with other human beings. It's where most of us thrive. So there's going to be, Mark, I believe, this combination of both. Some of the early indications from organizations like Microsoft and Cisco and Salesforce and others is the new working world is going to be a combination of both. But there is going to be a boatload of remote working. So is New Brunswick a beautiful place to live and to run a business and have a satellite office and to raise your children and have a great career? Absolutely. You know, there's going to be new values that people are associating with how they want to work, and they want to work differently. you know, you can read all kinds of different things, Mark, about how much people think COVID has accelerated the adoption of technology. I would tell you a decade without even blinking, and it's probably even more. Wow. Because, you know, when my 80-year-old mom is on Zoom over Christmas so she can see all her grandchildren and my dad, and they're both able to get on the call without me having to go over to their house and get them set up. 6 months ago, a year ago, if you would have told me that that was the way that we were engaging and my parents could do that on their own, I would have told you you're crazy. Mm-hmm. So it has impacted every part of our lives. And so everything is being accelerated. Absolutely everything. I think the delivery model for university education is under attack, really. It's really going to look different, but there's going to be lots that's in person. There's no question about it. But some of these large organizations are showing no signs of when they're going to be back physically in these offices. So you know there's going to be more and more advancements on how we're using our phones and the types of applications that we're using so that we can interact each and every day with employees and with loved ones and with friends. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty exciting time, but I sure do miss going to the office every once in a while and, you know, getting in the car and driving to Moncton or Fredericton or Halifax for a meeting. That's lovely too.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll still be doing that, hopefully soon.
Yeah, and I think right now we just be realistic and do the best that we can. And most importantly is find programs, get more knowledgeable and familiar with technology and what it can do and make it work for you. And for us, we're fortunate to have partners like ACOA and the government of New Brunswick who are investing and want to bring more talent here and want to be putting more money into the technology sector. And so we're really excited to be partnering with them on these kinds of programs and being able to work with great companies like SMET and Ganong. I mean, it's been a really exciting 6 months.
Absolutely. That's great. So thank you so much. With that, we will end, end 3 minutes early. I want to thank you so much, Kathy and Jarvis and Paul, for taking the time to walk us through this. I think we learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I want to thank everyone online for your great questions and attending. And so one of the things, like Kathy said, we'll be providing, this has been recorded, so you can go to a podcast to learn more, and we're going to be providing this as well through our own social channels. So thank you, everyone, and everyone have a great Thursday.
Thank you, Mark, and good luck with the new agency.
Thank you very much. Bye, everyone.
Jarvis and Paul did an amazing job of sharing their experiences with the Digital Boost program and the projects that they have underway. There's nothing better than having guests that are going through digital transformational projects and having them share their learnings. Digital transformation is not just about technology. It's the people and the processes, the culture. Change management is key, communications, and strategy to put it all together. And on top of all that, sure, it is about the technology too. You know, Tech Impact is working with 25 different businesses right now who are in the Digital Boost program. We can't wait to see the impact that these tech investments and changes are going to have on their business outcomes. And we're going to be sharing those case studies on our Tech Impact website. Thanks again to Mark and the team at Envision St. John for having us share our digital experiences. Next up, we're talking data. I moderated a panel called The Power of Data at UNB a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to be sharing that to you in a podcast format. This panel might be one of my favorites in quite a long time. More to come on that next week. Have a good one, everyone. Thanks for supporting the podcast.